praise as he comes to minister to this body.
Praise the Lord, everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And I want this church to know something. Me and my wife, you're our family. This church is an extended part of our family. And I give honor to your pastor and his precious wife, Sister Serena. They are, I will tell you something. You will not find, not only is he a good friend of ours, they're good friends of ours, family, but you won't find a better couple that pastor a church that have a burden and have the caring spirit. Just listen to me for a second. It's one thing for somebody to pastor a church, but it's one thing for a guy, fellow, to pastor a church and have the love and the compassion and the long-suffering and the caring for souls, not just for their souls for eternity, but for the natural also, to see that your needs are met. And I'm going to tell you something, in this couple, that's what you've got. You've got it all wrapped up. You've got it all wrapped up in one ball. I strive to be like him. I really do. He's very patient. I'm 10 years older than he is, so I think maybe that's where my impatience comes from. But we love everyone. If I start mentioning names across this congregation, you all have been such good friends to us and to our church. And our churches are hooked together. You hurt, we hurt. And I believe when we hurt, you hurt. And when you rejoice, we rejoice. I love watching all the baptisms that you've been having. And we were so blessed. And I know you're standing for a minute, but I'm going to stand for about 30 minutes when you're sitting down. So how's that? But Timmy brought a young man up to our church that's been going through your recovery program. His name's Jesse. And Brother Bill Tatera, y'all, I think most of you know Bill Tatera. They adopted this young man's son and daughter. And he's been coming to your recovery program doing well. And he got baptized Sunday. And he wanted to be baptized. He wanted to be baptized at our church because his son and daughter go there. So it was impressive, and his boy just got baptized. So he was in the tank with him. I don't know if you've seen it online or not, but I allowed him to get in the tank when he was baptized and got that picture. And I think that was a beautiful blessing. You're doing a wonderful work here. Come on, you're doing a great work. God's moving in a mighty way. So let's go to the Word of God, because I know it's the middle, one quarter of the way through the week, and we all got to go to work tomorrow, and I won't be long, I promise, unless the Lord moves. If the Lord moves, then we're just going to go with the Lord. How's that? Is that all right? How many's going to worship here tonight? See, we think worship is always in the music, and it is, but worship's in everything that we do in the house of God. Come on now, listen to it. Listen to me here tonight. Everything we do in the house of the Lord is worship. Preaching, praying, taking up the offering. Come on, come on, shaking one another's hands. Come on, being kind to one another. Listening to the preaching, getting behind the preaching, get behind your path. Everything we do is, how many came to worship and praise God here tonight? Come on, who came to magnify God, lift your voice, give him the voice that he gave you, and come on, and respond. You don't have to hear my whole message. I tell you what, there was a time in apostolic movement when, hey, you couldn't get through a whole preaching message. Come on, when God spoke, God, people got up and they moved. Come on, and they responded to not just to the priest's word of God, but they responded to the presence of God that was being brought forth, that was talking to them and moving on them. And I believe God can do that here tonight. Is good. Man, I tell you what, you know what? It's good for a pastor to get out, because see, we don't get to do the evangelistic stuff. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me get to the Word of God. This is fun. This is when I have fun. Amen. Let's go to Ezekiel. Somebody's saying, man, Ezekiel. Good Lord, what are you going to do out of Ezekiel? Well, you're going to find out. Ezekiel chapter 1. And I'm nervous up here. You better be nervous when you stand up behind this thing. You better never think you have this under control, because you don't have it under control. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 15, this is how it reads. Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of beryl, and they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. Verse 18, as for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes around about them four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels and went by them, and when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. When those went, these went. And when those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And tonight I want to just talk to you for just a little bit. The wheel in the middle of the wheel. The wheel in the middle of the wheel. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your power, for your presence that's in this house. I ask you to move in a mighty way. God, I want you to fill us with your word. God, not only just fill us with your word, but would you draw us by your word and by your power and by your might. Lord, help me to preach this word here tonight. And Lord, let us just to have a good time in the house of the Lord. And I ask you to let us respond, Lord. If somebody needs something, let them respond to your word. Let them respond to your presence. And God, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you will meet that need, that you will touch and move in a mighty way. And can we all say in Jesus' name, clap your hands to the Lord, shake somebody's hand while you're being seated. And I see the clock. Amen. The wheel in the middle of the wheel. The wheel in the middle of the wheel. Can I tell you, the wheel in the middle of that wheel that Ezekiel saw was none other than Jesus Christ. The wheel in the middle wheel. The very God of heaven. Now, let me go back just a little bit. Ezekiel was a prophet, and he received many visions from the Lord that directed him in many things. There's a lot of prophecy that he was shown that's coming to fruition right now. And there's a lot of things that he saw that was past and that was present and that is going to be in the future. Amen. But this portion of scripture that I read for you is an afterthought of the four faces. Now, I want to talk about these four faces, and I'm going to go pretty quick because I think the Lord wants to do something really good here tonight. I think God's going to meet somebody's need. I really do. Or give somebody some revelation here tonight. So the focus thought on God, it's on God's divine providence. How many know that God's got everything in control? God's got everything in control. I know you may look at the world today and you may look around us and you may see what's going over overseas and what's going on in Israel and what's going on in Europe and all those things. And sometimes it can get a little confusing. It's like questions come to our mind. And I don't know about you, but I even have these questions. Some to God. Man, this is really getting chaotic right now. But can I tell you, we haven't seen nothing yet. I want to let this church know something, and I teach this and I preach this to our church. We haven't really seen nothing yet. Can I tell you that my faith does not lie in Donald Trump? My faith does not, come on, my faith does not lie in Congress. My faith does not lie in our governmental system. My faith, I thank God I live in the United States of America. I thank God that I live in a free country. I thank God that I live somewhere where I can come into the house of God, bring my Bible, carry that thing in here, don't have to worry about, come on, now somebody might shoot me someday for it, but that's okay, because we've all got a purpose, but I thank God I am where I am. But my faith does not lie in the government. My faith lies in that wheel that's in the middle of the wheel. My faith, I'm talking about God's divine presence and his divine power and his ability to see everything that we go through. Can I tell you, you are not going through anything here tonight that my God and your God, Jesus Christ, has not went through already. He's already been there. And before you ever get to the place where you're headed, God's already at the end of it waiting on you down there. Come on, to be there with his arms wide open saying, don't you worry about it. Come on in, because I got it in control. See, what it is the problem we have is we want to be in control. Come on, is this all right tonight? Come on, the wheel in the middle of the wheel. What problem is we get our eyes too focused on other things around us. It's not hard to be distracted. How many know that in this country that we live in, just use this country for example, thousands of people get killed every day because of a distraction. You know, I left my cell phone in the car tonight for a reason. A lot of times I'll put it up here to watch the time or, you know, I don't text and stuff like that while I'm preaching. No. But how many know you go down the road, you see people texting all the time? Come on, texting. Looking down, looking up, phone to their ear, phone here, phone there, earphones in here, distracted. People lose their lives every day. Can I tell you, it's not a time for the church to be distracted? Come on, it's not time for you and I to get our eyes focused on anything else. Come on, don't get me wrong. We need to be paying attention to what's going on around this world. We need to be paying attention about current events, and we need to stay updated on all those things. But don't you dare get distracted from what the purpose is that God's got in your life. Come on, that job that he wants you to do in this time that we live in, because the church has a very important role in this end time. Can I tell you what the role is? To keep your eyes on the wheel in the middle of the wheel and keep your thoughts focused on what God wants you to do. Well, Brother McKee, I don't know what God wants me to do. Can I tell you how to find it? Come on. Anybody got their Bible with you tonight? If you got your phone, you got a Bible. Can I tell you how to find it? Get our noses in this. Get our minds in this. Get our thoughts in this. That's how you find out what God wants you to do. The wheel in the middle of the wheel. God's divine providence in this world. And I can tell you, he knows exactly what you can. He sees everything. He sees everything that you're going through. Me and my wife are going through some things with her health. And thank God that she's doing good. And we got some good reports. Can I tell you, God's no respecter of persons. Come on. It don't matter how long you've been serving God. Good things happen to good people and bad things happen to good people. That's not why I come to church, because every time something good happens in my life, I show up at church. Come on. If you can't live for God, if you can't live for God at the bottom of the mountain, you aren't going to live for God very long at the top of the mountain. You got to have your mind made up. Come on. You got to have your mind made up. No matter what comes in my life, no matter what comes in my lane in life, I'm going to get up every day and I'm going to give God praise, and I'm going to get my mind on him, and I'm going to get my eye focused on the wheel in the middle of the wheel. You know, we used to sing an old song. Some of you don't know it. I call him Jesus, my rock. I call him Jesus, my rock. I call him Jesus, my rock. Oh, Jesus, my rock. And then it goes on and on and on. It says, he's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. He's the wheel. You know what? That person didn't just write that song just haphazardly. They wrote that song because they were going through something in their life. Come on now, hear me tonight. They were going through something in their life, and they knew that the only way they were going to make it through that thing was if they kept their eye, come on, kept their eye focused on the wheel, in the middle of the wheel. If they kept their mind, come on, I woke up this morning with my mind staying on Jesus. Well, I woke up this morning. Come on, anybody help me with my mind? Oh, staying on Jesus. Well, I woke up this morning with my mind. It was staying on Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You know why they wrote that song? Because they knew what, they didn't have a clue what was coming that day. But if they could keep their mind on God, if they could keep their mind on the wheel, in the middle of the wheel, then there wasn't nothing they couldn't go through that day where God wouldn't be there for them. We get too distracted. And Ezekiel saw these faces. Is this all right tonight? I'm going to get a drink of water. I feel like I'm hitting somebody's home tonight. Ezekiel saw these faces. And here's what he thought. God said, look, I'm going to show you something. Let me show you something. He said, this is how intricate it is. This is how intimate I am with you. Come on. This is how intimate I want to be with you. So I'm going to give you four faces to show you where I'm at. And he said this. He said, the first face I want to show you is the face like a man. And man has some understanding. How many know we got understanding? We get revelation and we get understanding. God gives us a certain amount of knowledge and wisdom just to start off with. Before we even come to know God, we got some kind of wisdom. We got some kind of understanding of how things work. So he said, here's these faces that I am. And he goes, it's understanding. So, and then he said, the next one I want you to know that I'm involved with is like a lion. He said, and that lion produces and it symbolizes strength and boldness. He said, can I tell you how intricate I am with you? Is I'm so intricate, I'm going to give you understanding. If you want understanding, I'll give you understanding. Some people say, well, I just don't know if I can live this life. I don't know if I can do this. Can I tell you, you can't do it. I got to watch. You can't do it. I can't do it. Pastor John can't do it. The only way I could do it, and the only way he can do it, and the only way you can do it, is if you get that understanding from God. You only know so much, but it's only how much do you want to know. See, there's never going to be an excuse when you stand before heaven. Is this okay if I get out of line, pull my coat? I'm not going to try to get pastoral. I won't do that. I'll try to stay away from that stuff. You got your own church to pastor. I got mine. I don't want a pastor too. I don't want a pastor too. But he says, look, I want you to understand something. You can't do it all on your own. You can't make it on. You can't do what you need to do unless you have understanding from God. And you can go on your own intellect as long as you want to. But can I tell you, your own intellect will only take you so far. You can play the, I'm so thankful. And I just want to throw this in. Anytime my granddaughter runs up here or wherever I'm at, I'm going to stop the whole service to grab her. Sorry about all that. She gets the attention. So does Silas. So does the other four that I have. Yeah. You can have all the ability that you want. But your own ability will only take you so far. Your only natural talent will take you so far. But it's only when you can exceed and go excel and go further is when you get a hold of the understanding from God. And when you get a relationship with God. And God can really get intricate with you. And the only way God can get intricate with you and with me is if you come to him with a sincere heart. See, you can't pull the wool over God's eyes. Man, I feel this in the Holy Ghost. You can't pull the wool over God's eyes. You might fool Pastor John And you might fool Sister Serena, and you might fool some of these folks in. Come on, somebody with me. But one way or another, God's got your number. God's got my number. Come on, you can't pull the wool over his eyes. So you might as well come to him. Come on, with your mind made up. God, here I am. Do something with me because I can't do it on my own. And it isn't going to do my way to fake it through life. Come on, you might try to fake it, but somewhere down the line, if not down here, is this too hard? If not down here, it'll come to light up there. You're looking at a guy that makes a lot of mistakes. There's isn't a soul in here that's perfect. There's only one that's perfect. His name's Jesus. The only one that can give you strength at face of the lion is Jesus Christ. And give you a boldness. Then he says, there's a face like an ox. I'm almost getting there. Face like an ox. And he says, an ox is like, he's diligent. He has a lot of patience. Anybody ever watch an ox? Anybody ever watch an ox work? Come on. They're just methodical. But they don't quit. They don't quit. What are you trying to say up here, Brother McKee? I'll tell you what I'm trying to say. In your life, the wheel, in the middle of the wheel. What do you got to keep at the center point of your hope? You keep God at the right perspective in your life. I had a guy try to tell me one time. He said, here's how I look at it, Pastor. I said, okay, tell me. He said, it's my family, my job, and then it's God. And I said, really? I said, man, that's a new one. I said, can I tell you, you are not even half right. You're not even three quarters right. He goes, what are you talking about? I said, let me tell you how it is. I said, not only by my experience, but by people I've watched in their life and watched their experience with God. I said, it's God. God. I said, it's family. Come on. And then your church. Come on. It's God first. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you, you put God in the middle of everything that you do. Come on, everything that you do. And everything outside of that realm, all the other wheels and all the other movements and all the other motions, God will put them in the right perspective. You want your life in order, and I want my life in order. Keep God in the middle of everything that you do in your life. Come on. Keep him in the morning. Keep him in the noontime. Keep him in the evening time. And lay down before you lay your head down at night, keep him in your forethought. When you plant your feet on the ground, the first words out of your mouth should be, praise ye the Lord. Come on. Praise God. God, help me through this day. Give me the strength that I need to make it. Keep God in the middle of the wheel. Keep him where he belongs, in the middle of everything. And the last one is this. It's an eagle. And an eagle is a face that he showed Ezekiel. He said, because God's quick and he's piercing. And his eyesight, nothing he doesn't see. There's nothing he doesn't see. Nothing that God doesn't pay attention to. Brothers, can you go to Psalms 139? David had some insight. A couple of hundred years or so before Ezekiel ever thought about. This is what David said. I know this is a lot of reading, but this is good. David had a lot of insight. David, one of the most greatest people in the Bible. But can I tell you this? David was one of the biggest sinners in the Bible. But the one thing about David was, is he had a heart after his heart. See, we think it's this. That's not what, when the Bible talks about the heart, he's not talking about your natural fleshy heart. This is the heart. This is where everything comes from. Every thought, every motive, every intention. Come on. Every defiled thing that you could think of comes from this part of your body, the heart. of the mind, is the heart of what Jesus is talking about, what the Word of God talks about. And this is what David said. He said, "Man, I have an understanding of who God is. I made a lot of mistakes in my life. I sinned a lot, but I did a lot of good things. But there's one thing that the Bible always said about David was this: David was a man after God's own heart. David had a way of praying, and he said, oh, create in me. Whew. Create in me. God, in other words, every day that I wake up, you got to reshape me. Come on, you think you can go a day without God? I'll tell you what happens is when you go a day without God on your mind and putting him where he belongs, guess what? That you ain't getting closer to God. You took a step back away from God. And then it becomes easy. Come on now, I'm going to preach just for a second. It gets a little bit easier the next day. Guess what? I'm not even going to think. Then before you know it, you've gotten so far away from God. Then you're trying to struggle to get your way back. But if you can get your mind focused on God and your eyes fixed on God and keep God at that right perspective in your life, guess what can happen? You don't get further away from God, but God begins to draw you closer to him. Come on. He begins to pull you closer, and then you become more committed to the house of God. Come on. Anybody with me? You become more committed about the house of God. The first thought on your mind is not what I'm going to do next week to go on vacation, not where I'm going to go on the ball field, not where I'm taking. You can ask that young man right there. I'm going to throw this in for free. I just want two burritos tonight. You can ask that young man right there. I hope this is okay. I don't know. I'm 61, so it don't really matter. I don't really care what you guys think. I'm almost done. He was a good baseball player. He wouldn't run around telling you guys that, but he was a good baseball player. Franklin College was looking at him. Good baseball player. It's okay. Played the drums at church. So about his freshman year, he's playing the drums on Sunday nights, man. Back then, that was a big thing. If you graduated from playing on Wednesday night, especially in the church we went to, if you graduated from playing the drums on Wednesday night and you got moved up to Sunday morning, that was big. But, man, Sunday night, how many's old enough to remember? God couldn't do nothing on Sunday morning. And on Wednesday night, God really didn't do nothing. We were just gathering together because God just couldn't do nothing. But, man, Sunday night, that's when God moved, buddy. That's when God got with it, and that's when everybody dressed up. And, man, we just got with it on Sunday nights. Come on, I'm having some fun here tonight. So he got graduated up, man, played them drums on Sunday night. So he's playing baseball, and he got away with they would let him miss Wednesday night practices because he went to church. But, man, if you know anything about sports, the more you go, it don't get like that. I think I'm talking to somebody. How do I get so close to God? How does God get me to a place and to a level? How can I get to that level? Can I tell you, you don't get to that level just because of who you are? And you don't get to that level just because you think you ought to be at that level. I hope I'm okay, man. You don't just get to that level because you give in the offering plate every. You get to that level because you keep God in the middle of the. You get to that level because you keep God at the perspective, perception where he needs to be in your life. And so I told him, I said, you do what you want. He said, well, Dad, they want me to be on a traveling team. In order to be on this traveling team, he said, I gotta miss some Sundays, and I gotta miss some Wednesdays, and I can't go to prayer meeting, and I gotta do this, I said, oh, yeah, I get it, man. And trust you, you're looking at a guy, look, I like sports, and I was a baseball player, and nothing more in my heart, natural heart, that would love to see him. But you know what? when God saved me and God saved that lady right there and we decided to have kids, I said the main thing in my life now is not to see them play baseball, basketball, football. I want to see them get to heaven. I want to see them get to heaven. I want to see them not do what I did. Now, don't get wrong. He's not good. He's not perfect. Not by any means. Boy, I know one thing, though. He married a perfect wife because she brought some chicken enchiladas over, no, chicken tacos over to our house last night. And, man, I got sick almost, man, but they were so good. I ate so many, man. I was miserable when I went to bed, and I was miserable when I got up. That was good. I thank God for a good daughter-in-law like that, man, that brings some good food, man. But anyway, so I said, look, you're old enough. You do what you want to do. And I said, but here's the deal. I always taught you this is more important than anything. I said, this is where we brought you when you was a little baby. I said, you don't know anything different. When I brought you up here to this altar, my wife, we put you up here. I made up in my mind, she made up her mind, this is the way we're going to live. This is what we're going to do. This is where we are going to be. And I'm going to do whatever I can, and we're going to do whatever we can to get to heaven and to see that our kids get to heaven. Because, see, I don't think it's just me and her getting to heaven, and I don't think it's just me and my kids getting to heaven. But I was looking down the road about another 30 years or 40 years about these little ones right here that was going to be born, and our oldest son. I was looking down the road. Come on, you got to start. Can I preach to somebody? You better start looking down the road and not just look where you're at right now, but you better look about the generations that's going to follow after what you're doing, and you better get your eyes fixed on God, because the only examples that they're going to have in this world is what you do, and what you do for Christ is the only thing that's going to last. It's the only thing that's going to last in my life is what do I do for Him? Okay, I'm trying to close, man. I said, you pray about it. I said, but here's the deal. I said, not because I'm the assistant pastor. No, not because I'm the assistant pastor. It's because of the way I brought you up and the way your mother brought you up and the what I believe down in here and what I've got and what God has done for me and what God has done for you as a young man. I said, here's the deal. You got to make a choice. I said, you got to make a choice. What's important to you? What's important to you in life and what's going to make a difference in life? I'm all about sports. I'm all about fun. And there's a place and time for it. But can I tell you, if you can't make a stand on something that simple, you will never, come on, you'll never ever make a stand on something that's greater value in your life. You'll fold like a wet paper bag if you aren't careful. Maybe I'm getting too pastoral. He prayed. Didn't join the travel team. I said, but you can't play the drums if you're going to do that. I said, you won't be able to do that. And you're saying, man, you're all looking at me. Man, that's mean. Because, see, if you want to get elevated, if you want to get closer to God, and you want God to use you, there's some things you're going to have to throw behind you. And there's some things that you're going to have to push away. And what you're doing when you're pushing them away and you're making those hard decisions, you're not just looking down and you're not looking behind. What you're doing is when you begin to push those things away, you begin to see clearly where God's focused at in your life. You begin to see a clear path of what He wants to do in your life. And you begin to say, yeah, I got God in the center of my crosshairs. I know exactly where God's at in my life. He got cut his senior year because it was really mandatory. But you know what? He prayed. He said, it don't matter. He said, Dad, I'm going to live for God. I'm not trying to build him up. I'm trying to use an example here. When you put God where God needs to be. And David made this statement, man. I'm going to read these really fast. Somebody's with the music. Come on up. I heard belly growling.
David said this.
Can you just bear with me and really open your thoughts and open your minds to what David said? David said this. He said, "O Lord, thou hast searched me." He said, "Thou hast searched me and known me." He said, "Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down. And you are acquainted not with just half my ways, not with just a quarter of my ways, but with all my ways." And he goes on and he says this, "There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, Lord, thou knowest it altogether." You don't think God cares about you? You don't think God watches everything that you do and is involved in every part of your life? In every situation that you go through? David said, "Man, and this is the beginning of a shallow prayer right here." He really gets deep here in just a minute. Yeah, I hope it hits you, and I hope it hit me when I went through and studied it. He said this. He said, "Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me." He said, "You was behind me. You were before me. I can't turn in my natural life where you're not there, where you don't see me, where you don't know me, and you don't understand me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it." Verse 7, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit?" Can I tell somebody you can't run from God? This is the last thing that this guy wanted to do. This right here, you think, "Oh man, this is great, man. Look at Brother McKee. Oh man, isn't that great? Pastor John gets it." I'm gonna tell you something. Me and him, we didn't beg for this. I know him. He knows me. This is the last thing this guy wanted to do. I couldn't even order my own meal at McDonald's when I was 12 years old. I was so embarrassed to talk to people. I'd stand behind my dad. When we was in a company of people, I'd stand behind him because I didn't want to talk to nobody. And I didn't want to see anybody. My wife met me and she said, "Man," now I talked to her, but she goes, "You know, when we go out," she goes, "you don't talk." She goes, "What's wrong with you? You kind of," I said, we dated. She knew how I was. She knew my personality. She said, you really are a, what do you call that, an introvert? Is that what that is? You really are an introvert. You just, man, you sink back in a shell when you're around a group of people. God, Mike, I'll never forget the day God told me I was going to preach. I was praying down at the church. And I'd been going down there cutting grass, praying. And the Lord said, "You're going to preach." And I was like, "No, I'm not." He said, "Yeah, you're going to preach." So I went and talked to the pastor. I said, I want you to tell me really, because all I need to do is hear it from your mouth, and then I'll forget it. And I said, "God told me I'm going to preach." And he said, I said, "What do I need to do?" And I was waiting on Pastor Stevenson to say, "Oh, you're not going to preach, Doug." You know? You know what he told me? He said, "Keep cutting grass and doing what you're doing." And all you're looking at me saying, you're just looking for some big, big old word that he was going to give me. No, you know what? He was smart. Keep serving. He said, because what you've done by serving, he didn't explain it to me until I started looking into it later. I really understood what serving was and being committed. That's what he said. He said, that's where you find God. You don't find God going to conferences. Oh, come on. You don't find God going to these big conferences. I love them and I love them. You don't find God in all that stuff. You find God when you become committed and you become a servant. And he said, just keep doing what you're doing, Doug. Man, I had to think about it. I thought, man, he just told me no. That's good. I'm a grass cutter. And if he'll buy me the best mower, I'll cut grass for the rest of my life here at this church. And that ain't what happened. It wasn't 4 or 5 weeks later, he came up to me and said, hey, I notice you come to church, you don't wear a tie. I said, no, I don't even own a tie. He goes, I want you to get a tie, get you a dress shirt, and you start wearing a tie and a shirt to church. And I said, what for? He goes, you just do what I tell you. So I started wearing a tie and a shirt, dress shirt. A couple of weeks later, 3 weeks later, he goes, hey, I want you to get up and lead songs. Dude, I'm not a singer. See, we run from God. We try to find every excuse. But can I tell you, when you got God, when you learn how to serve and you learn how to be committed and you learn how to, where you really find God, can I tell somebody, wherever you found God at that building over there, the first building, and wherever you found God at the second building, you better find God at the third building. I don't know where it was at. I don't know what corner of the church was, but if you've gotten away from God, what you need to do is look around this building right now and say, yeah, about right in there is where I found him. Guess what? If you can't feel him anymore, you go back to where you first found God, and you find that spot, and you kneel down at that spot, and you say, God, come on, God, I don't know how I feel, but I know one thing. You've never lost eyesight of me. I might have lost where you were at, but you've never lost where I'm at. And David said this. Man, I'm sorry. I'm done. Really, I am. He said, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me. And thy right hand, didn't say his left hand, created. Right hand, power. It's not going to be a weak leading. It's going to be a powerful leading. The right hand of God is power. He said, if the right hand do you lead me, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, can I tell you, in the last year and a half, I've gotten closer to God than I've ever been. Because, see, me and Sister McGee had some good years. But can I tell you that only the good times only going to last so long before something gets pulled out. And it's not because God's mad at you. It's not because he's angry with you. It's not because he hates you. It's not because he doesn't love you or doesn't care. What he's saying is, it's time for you to get a little closer. I need you to get closer to me. I need you to get closer to me. So guess what? I'm just gonna allow something to draw you. And he said this. If I say, surely darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. If I say, surely, he said, verse 12, he says, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. And David made this, I'm closing my Bible, so everybody say amen. He said this, even if I make my bed in hell. You know what? Can I throw this in for free? We don't preach enough about hell. Can I just burst somebody's bubble? Jesus spoke about hell more than he did heaven. Why? Because he doesn't want you or me or the rest of this world to go there. Stand with me. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Is it okay if I give an altar call, Pastor? the will in the middle of the will in your life. That's not me asking that. I believe the Lord's speaking through me tonight. And I normally don't do all that stuff where I'm telling you tonight, I believe God's speaking through me and asking you through this voice, is God really the will in the middle of your life? I believe somebody ought to step out of your seat right now. And wherever you first met God, think about where you met God at. What place in the building, whatever building you was in, where did you meet God? Visualize it in your mind. And I'm just going to ask you, find it right now. Come on, somebody, find it right now. He's just waiting for you to make that one step. One step. Say, God, here I am. I'm going to be a server. I'm going to be committed. God, I'm going to put the wheels back in the positions they need to be. I got a lot of wheels happening in my life. I got things turning in my life. But where's that wheel at? Where are you at that's turning all the wheels in my life? Are you really in the center, or are you out here on the edge somewhere? If you need a healing touch in your body, I'm asking you to make your way up here. Can I tell you, there's no circumstance that you've went through in your life that God has not already went through it. He was tempted in all ways. In other words, situations were thrown at him from every angle. And there's not one thing that you aren't going through that God has not already been through. That God doesn't already know it. If you've never repented of your sins, every eye closed. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, I always close the service out like this. You've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. Can I tell you, it's for you. It is for you. It is real. It is real. It's for everyone on this planet. It's to the othermost parts of the earth, is what Peter said. He said, man, it's for everybody. It's for every generation. It's for every color. It just takes a willing heart to say, here I am, God. Come on. Come on, young man. God's talking to you. Don't quench that spirit. You've had a hold of God before. He's not left you. Ma'am, he's not left you. He's not left you. I wouldn't leave this building tonight without getting a hold of God one more time. Grabbing a hold of his hand and saying, here I am, Lord.